Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Sonia here with the I Am podcast. How are you today? You have stumbled upon the Sonia Jenny show, and we have a very special guest with us today. As you are coming across this particular episode, whether you've landed on it because you regularly listen or it's been shared directly from one of us, you are certainly going to want to have your pen and paper handy, even if you're on a walk. The best trick I have is taking screenshots when I'm on a walk or not near my notepad. Sometimes I've paused it and I've gone to the record and have recorded myself a message of some of my favorite takeaways. So feel free to take my advice there. But I am so excited to unpack today's episode when it comes to menopause, burnout, and career choices. We're gonna dance around this. We're probably gonna go in and out as life does. There's nothing consistent, right? The only consistent is change, and that's gonna unfold quite a bit today, as well as the two of us have an opportunity to share with all of you. So without any further ado, let's welcome our special guest today, Wendy, to the mic.
Hello, hello, Sonia. Lovely to be here all the way from down under. That's what they call us.
Isn't that amazing? Now, where does down under come from? Do you know where the
I
lingo comes
don't
from?
know the history. I just know when I moved to Australia, that's what how everyone referred to it. And maybe because we're so far away, it takes most people a long time to travel to Australia, some people 25 hours. Like if you're coming from Europe or the UK, you're on a very long flying time.
I'm pretty sure it's even further from Canada. Right, because we're further
Probably.
away even from UK, because we're across the pond.
Across the
It's
pond.
certainly more than a
That's
pond
right.
that we're across from. But before that, before you moved to Australia, you said that you were born in South Africa.
Yes, I was. Yeah. Cape Town,
Was
South Africa.
Cape Town. Okay, so was there other places in between that you had settled down into?
No, so we migrated from Cape Town to Melbourne, Australia. I have lived in the United States probably around 2000 to 2002. I was in the United States for 2 years, and then I lived in New York for about 10 months in 2016. So
Okay.
I've lived, and then I've traveled the world. I've been to so many places, Europe many times. I think the only part of the world I haven't yet seen is South America. I've done Asia, done Europe, UK. Oh, Canada. I haven't been to Canada. That's on the bucket
Yes.
list for next year.
Yes.
Yet. Yeah. So Canada and South America are
That's
the places
cool.
I still need to see.
But that's it. You've hit
Oh,
a
look,
lot of the.
I've done a lots of Asia, but I haven't been to Japan, so that's also on my bucket list, Japan, but I've done Fiji and China and Singapore and been all over.
So
Thailand.
being all over means you've learned so many different things.
I
You've
have. Oh,
experienced a
absolutely.
lot. So, on our show, we do talk about almost everything and we throw it all in together, and at the end we tie it all up with a pretty little bow. But let's tap into something a little bit more fun. And what has all of this traveling led you to? What has it taught you the most?
So one of the key lessons that I've learned about travel is to remain curious. It's very easy to have a preconceived idea of how you think a country's going to be or how you think a culture's going to be. And I've often gone to some places thinking, oh, I'm going to the UK. I'm probably going to find, the English stiff upper lip that everyone talks about, and so on and so on. And if I go to Ireland, I'm going to find the jovial Irish people. It's never actually been that way. I've always found that in some pockets it is, but then in other pockets it isn't. And so one of the things I've learned with travel, and it's probably why I love doing it so much, is it's about remaining curious and also open. and understanding that fundamentally across the world, because the other commonality I've seen is that people fundamentally want the same thing. They want their families to be safe, they want to be happy, and they want to do things that are meaningful and purposeful. And this is across the board. I've met people that are probably not far above the poverty line, and I've met very, very wealthy people and everyone in between. And it doesn't matter the status, the financial status, people want the same thing. They want happiness for their family, safety for their family. They want to do something that matters. And fundamentally, they want some freedom. They want freedom to be able to travel and to go do the things that they want to do. For some people, they're not that interested in travel, but they like going fishing or they like, hiking. And so I found that humanity is pretty much the same across the world. We struggle with the same problems and we experience the same joys.
I love that feedback. I mean, when I was in Cuba last year, 2 years ago, I went with my best friend and I had not been. That's not true. I got to retell, I got to recreate my going away experience because the first time wasn't so good and it had been over 20 years ago. So
Yes.
this time was magical. I went with my best friend and we ended up going to the wrong restaurant at the very last night that we were there. And we ended up being in a place where they were celebrating people that come back over and over again. I forget what it's called, but when you return to the
Oh.
hotel over and over again, they offer you, even after the first year, a separate special meal with separate special food. And I'm like, well, no, we can leave. We'll go to the other place. It's not a big deal. Like our apologies, we were dressed for it and everything, but we had no idea. Somebody just pointed us to this direction. And our Aquafit instructor actually asked his higher up, because the entertainers are the entertainers, right? So if we
Yeah.
could stay at his as his guest. So we ended up sitting at his table as well as two or three, I think it was two other, I want to say employees that were elegant, that were considered to be higher employees or chosen throughout this 3 hour evening that we were not supposed to be at, Cindy and I, we walked away with more information about the people, the culture, the food, and why they ate this and their religion. And it was probably the highlight of our week was having
Yeah.
this experience that nobody would have had because
Yeah.
the workers would sit amongst themselves for the most part, right? And the delegates would sit elsewhere, but we were invited to be not one of them, but to get to know who they are in a different space. And that was what I took away with too, was the humanity of all of it. Was it doesn't matter which country, well, I mean, that was one country, but that was not a first world country, right?
Yes.
So fundamentally, they're all still chasing the same thing, happiness and health for
Yeah,
themselves and their family.
Absolutely. And I think
Whatever
that's
that
what it
looks
comes
like.
down to.
Yeah.
Happiness and
Yes.
health. And for some people they do want a level of financial security. Nobody wants to be struggling to pay the bills or anything like that. So people, but at the same time I notice people want meaningful work as well. They don't want to be chained to a corporate job if it's making them miserable, because that really does have impact on so many areas of life.
Well, and I believe we all saw that, we all witnessed that during different levels during COVID. You know,
Yeah,
for a lot of us,
absolutely.
not everybody, I was certainly one as I was reinventing myself, but a lot of us lost our sense of purpose. We
Yeah.
lost our footing. For me, it was I had a fitness studio, and as the world knows, that no longer was
Yeah.
an option for 3+ years, especially here in Canada. You know, we were the last, like one of the first to shut down and definitely the last to open, with rules and restrictions and boundaries. But I wasn't holding on to a space for an unknown
Yeah.
amount of time, unknown. All of this was unknown. So, you know, that's where my chapter started to change in. And I went to life coaching and I went to nutrition coaching. So, enough about me. Let me hand the mic over to you for an introduction. I want you to expand a little bit more on yourself.
So the story begins obviously in South Africa. I was born in the late 60s, giving my age away, but that's okay. I'm okay with it. And that time of South Africa, I did obviously when you're born into to a country that it had a lot of problems with segregation. Apartheid was what governed the country. And apartheid, fundamentally, in a very short explanation, is the segregation of people by race. So you had the country divided into pockets for white people, pockets for colored people, which is what I am, so meaning mixture of white and black, and then pockets for black people. And it was segregated on every level. Schooling, beach, entertainment, all of that, where you lived. But obviously, born into my community, I didn't really know that because you're young, you're playing with your friends that look like you, you're on the street, running around with your mates. And I was introduced to apartheid at a beach one summer when the family went to a beach, and it was a very remote beach, and so with a lot of bushes around it, so we didn't really see the sign, and we went onto the beach. We were on the beach for about an hour, and then policemen appeared and put the family off the beach along with our friends who we'd gone with. And I remember just wondering what was going on. I was 7 years old at the time, so obviously too young to really take in what was actually happening, but I do remember my parents and the other two adults with us going really rigid. And I think kids are incredible in that we, even if we don't know what's going on, we can feel something's not right. So I knew something was off. And then we were hurriedly left the beach, and I'm in the car, and I was always a curious kid, always had to know what was going on. So I'm pestering my father, "What's happening? Why did they put us off the beach?" And my dad was like, "Can you for once just be quiet?" And that for me was like, something is very wrong, because my father never shut me up. He always encouraged my curiosity. He always, when I was asking about books, when I asked him to teach me how to play chess, all of these things, Dad never shut the voice down. He always was reading to me and teaching me games and, all of these things. And so I was like, why is he telling me to be quiet? He's never ever said that to me. But as we drove off the beach, I saw the sign that said whites only. And I was like, what does that mean? When we got home and we were in the safety of our home, that's when Dad sat us down and explained what country we were living in, what it meant, what the rules were, what apartheid meant. And for me, it was almost like, I mean, I really truly feel like I lost my childhood that day, because I realized this is not what I thought it was. And my father also caveated that by saying, "You're going to have to work twice as hard to get the opportunities in life that you want. I'm telling you now." And he told us then and there, education is important. Don't ever come home with bad grades. You're going to have to really put the effort in, because if you want opportunities later in life in this country, that's what's required of you with your color skin. So it was a very harsh reality to be introduced to those circumstances of the land. And yeah, I remember becoming incredibly serious, working really hard. And then in my teen years, I became very rebellious because I was angry about what was going on in the country and with the government. So I became a political activist, which was, when I look back now, it was what I felt compelled to do, but it was also dangerous because I put myself in a lot of danger, protesting, doing all this, that, and the other.
Don't we see that
But
when we're younger?
oh, we think we're invincible. I mean, I remember thinking, nothing's going to touch me. I saw a lot. I saw my friends being jailed. I saw people being killed. I myself was whipped and tear gassed and all of these things. But I don't know, there's something in us when we're young. We just think we're going to live forever.
Right.
So, but I do remember Dad at one point saying to me, "Listen, yes, I understand you want to be politically active," he said, "but sometimes being so rebellious and putting yourself in harm's way is not as effective as educating yourself and becoming stronger in a different way where you can make a difference." And so, and because I saw my dad do that, he would go into the black townships where people were really poor, really struggling. He would teach people to read and write and things like that. So dad believed in uplifting through education. Whereas I was, a rebel. I gotta fight the government and do all these things. I mean, I eventually outgrew it, after seeing probably a lot more than I wanted to see or should have seen, all of which left its mark, right? And then by the time we migrated to Australia, there was a whole other change and learning that I had to undergo to get rid of some of the scars from the previous life, and life has been about that, constantly releasing trauma, going through change and trying to rise above difficult situations. That's fundamentally me in a nutshell.
So much. Let's talk about now. Like there's so much there. Let's talk about now how you transitioned. I don't know yet about spending much more time on that past now that we understand that foundation. But what I do want to share is based on the information that I've received beforehand, is there was a lot of experience packed into those first 7 years. There was a lot of growth that happened at a young age. And what you probably didn't know then is that this was also happening in different parts of the world. Right? But too isolated, the world wasn't connected the way it is today for
Correct.
the general public to know what's going on somewhere else. Not that it brings solace that you're not alone. It doesn't. It doesn't make you feel any better. And it still makes my stomach curl when I think about once what was the way things were at one point for no reason. Well, no reason. No. And I'm sure our future generations are going to look back at our generation and say we did something for no reason as well, whatever that might be. But I mean, this is us looking past and still forward with an open mind. Because there's
Absolutely.
a lot that would have closed your mind and shut you down at such an impressionable age. But now, let's tell the world, like you help other women, you help women the same age, we're at. And in order to be able to help somebody through burnout, through menopause, you have to be going through or have gone through these things yourself in order to be an effective coach. A 20-year-old's not going to be able to walk me through menopause.
No,
She
me
better
neither.
not, and she better not try. It's all I have to say. I'm not saying there isn't wisdom. I know there's going to be a few things that they say that are going to catch your attention. I remember last year, my third year with my head diagnosis, sorry, my second year with my head diagnosis, and I was having a really rough day, and I remember I was kind of going mentally, I was spinning because it's so easy to do when that purpose is missing and all you're feeling is pain, and pain is debilitating. We know this at this point because we've all experienced something at this point. And my youngest daughter had said to me, healing is not linear. And I'm like, wake up call. I never heard that before. I didn't even think that. And it there are pockets of wisdom in our youth. But they're not the ones to be giving us the majority of the advice. Right?
Absolutely. No,
So
I agree.
tell us about your next chapter.
Well, I mean, there was the once I was in Australia, there was the relationship with my daughter's father that went badly wrong after almost 10 years together. I was pregnant at the time, so I actually started my what I call hitting rock bottom and then climbing out of that. I started that pregnant with a young child, obviously.
Pregnant with your first?
And
or you had a child
Pregnant
in.
with my only, I've only got
Okay.
one child. Yeah, so
Oh,
pregnant with
stop.
her.
You stopped when you were smart. I had three by the same father, and we didn't even make it 5 years. And
Wow.
my kids, now that they're full grown adults, they're all girls. They're like, Mom, how did you even last 5 years? And they've been heartbroken by him time and time again.
Yeah, same with my daughter, you know, and she often asks, how did you? And I said, look, I have no regret. I
Exactly.
feel like I probably should have left sooner, but I said I wouldn't have you if I had left sooner. And because she came at the end of the relationship. And so there was single parenthood, and that was really the struggle. That was really the financial struggle here, because I'd worked three jobs to buy the home I bought. We lived in the home together when the relationship ended. You know, I lost everything in that relationship, and was 4 or 5 months pregnant at the time. So I had to bring my baby to term. There'd been domestic violence at the end of the relationship where I almost lost her. So it was a difficult, it really was, I call it the rock bottom of my life, because everything collided in that 1 year. And so I had to restart, you know, figure out a way out of it, figure out a way how I was going to support this child, how I was going to have a career, earn more money. And in that journey of searching to establish myself and to start again, that was actually where I found what is now currently my business, though it didn't become my business at the time. I was on a path to make more money. That was the only thing driving me. I need to make more money to be able to feed this child, to be able to get rid of the debt that he had left me in, and so on. And so I started working with recruiters, hiring people, picking their brains, getting their knowledge, and created a system that ended up landing me a role that increased my income by so much. The people who knew my story, the colleagues, the friends, the family who knew that I'd lost everything, and saw within 10 months that I was catapulted into this career success, they started to ask for help. They said, how did you do it? So I just started sharing some of the things that I did. And that's actually how the business started. But it was very, very part-time, because I was launched into a very high-paying, really good corporate career. So I was working that full-time, and I would probably help people about 5 hours a week. And that went on for years. So I
As a
did
recruiter.
20. No, not as a recruiter. I was working in information technology, project management,
That was your
PMO
5 hours.
space.
That
No,
was your
that was
full
my
time.
full-time job,
And your.
full-time. And then the 5 hours was me working with people so that they could launch their careers. They could, you know, get the jobs that they wanted. And so that went on for about 22, 23 years, because I was in corporate at that high level for that amount of time. And then came menopause. Well, that was the thing that unraveled me.
I'm sorry, I can only laugh because it's us. It's
We at that
emails
stage.
from across the world. As soon as you said menopause unraveled me, the first thing I do for any of our listeners that are not catching the video, I literally la like you couldn't I couldn't help but laugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about how menopause almost killed you or did kill you or tore you
So
apart.
that, you know, obviously at that stage I'm in at this high level in corporate. I'm running programs and projects, information technology and corporate projects up to $500 million, you know, 500 million some of them. And so a lot of responsibility, and then along comes the symptoms of menopause. Now, I was in denial because I was 45 years old when it first hit. And in my head, it was supposed to happen in my 50s. So I get these symptoms. I start having insomnia, night sweats, all these things. And I'm just denying that it's menopause. I'm like, oh, I'm probably overtired. I'm working too hard, all of these things. So I'd say the first year, I was in total denial. In the meanwhile, I'm not sleeping. The brain fog is kicking in big time. The sweats are kicking in big time. And my, hot flashes often came with severe nausea. So I'm in meetings. A hot flash would hit. I'd have to dash out of the meeting, you know, to the bathroom. And I'm like, something's not right. And so then I go and see a GP, and of course the GP that I see doesn't help because he doesn't understand what I'm going through, and he doesn't explain anything. And he says, "Oh, you might be in that premenopausal phase and all that." And I'm thinking it feels like worse than that because I start reading up about things, and I'm like, and then I eventually went on a hunt, like I Googled search. I found a holistic doctor who practiced both Eastern and Western medicine. And he did the tests, ran the and he says, "Oh, you in menopause?" I'm like, "I'm at this stage, I'm 46 because I suffered for about a year without really digging into it." And I'm going, "I'm only 46." He
And
goes, "It can come."
you didn't have perimenopause?
Well, I think that first year was that,
Got
right?
it.
Because the period is slowing down. I'm only getting a period every 2 months or every 9 weeks or
This
something.
point, we want to forget they even exist. So you're not
Yes.
keeping track anymore. It's like it's
No, you're just like,
gone for
oh,
good.
thank God, the gap is wider and wider. I'm like, yes, finally this bitch is going, is what how I saw it, you
Pretty
know.
much,
This.
right? And for anybody listening to this, I know you're nodding your heads if you're this age, but any of the husbands that are catching it, a side conversation of this true story. We don't want to keep track anymore. We don't want to know what's
Yeah.
going on anymore. We just want to check out at this point. Our
Yeah.
bodies had too much control over us when it
Yeah,
comes to
that's right.
hormones for 40
Yeah.
years. Now, to be honest, Wendy, not and you mentioned this, it's not that you're too that was a too young of an age. It does fall within the bracket of
Yeah.
menopause, but yes, it is on the younger side
Yeah.
of where you're landing here. Now, my mom went through menopause really early because she had a hysterectomy at 29.
Yeah.
So that's going
Yep.
to change people as well that are listening to this, is you know your body, you know where you're at, but it can happen. You know, it happened to you, like you said, in your mid-40s is pretty much when it started.
Yeah.
And I would say late 40s is when it started for me. And
Yeah.
I would say I'm completely in menopause now, unless I get a
Yeah,
surprise later
I'm
this year.
Well, I think I'm coming out at the tail end of it now, because it for me the intensity was from age 46 to age 54, 55. I'm 58 now. So I'm coming out the tail end. I get the odd hot flash, but the worst of the symptoms is behind me. But those 8 years, 8, 9 years, was absolute hell. And it was through that time that I realized I could no longer function at my best level in corporate anymore because the brain fog was so intense for me. It is difficult to run the kind of programs I was running with that kind of brain fog. You need to be on it all the time. And so I was noticing that between the lack of sleep and the brain fog, I wasn't performing at my best anymore. And for me, that's never been good enough. It's like if you're not at your best anymore, you need to start reevaluating. So I actually took myself through my own personal reevaluation of what I wanted to really do with my life, what would help reduce the stress in my life, because you can't take the stress away when you're in that kind of high-powered role. There's just the expectations are too much. The board is on you. The CEOs are watching you. The program has to be delivered within time frames. And so I did the self-evaluation, and then I thought, well, what would I really like to be doing? And that's a question I asked myself. And then I was like, well, what I really love is helping other people. And in the career space, when I'm coaching, even if it's only for that 5 hours a week, I really enjoyed that. And even when I was feeling really crappy, somehow working with people like that, watching them transform, watching them get what they wanted, it uplifted me. And so I was like, I already have something. I just need to be brave enough to exit the full-time role. And so I created an exit plan. I created it over a 12-month period. And within 12 months, this was in 2018, I left corporate and went full time in my career coaching business. And it wasn't always easy because when you're starting, when you or you're going full time into your own business, you have to generate the clientele. You've got to keep, if you want to keep making money. So all of that is difficult. But I was like, I had a plan. I had saved. Part of my exit plan was to make sure there was enough money to back me up, right? And this is when I work with the women too, I don't just encourage people to walk out the door. I'm like, you need to transition, because the worst thing you can do for yourself is put yourself under financial stress. You don't make good decisions when you're financially stressed.
No, you don't. And that was one of the things I was going to commend you on, was giving yourself a 12-month plan. I think my ADHD wouldn't take me that long to get there. But it's necessary, right? Like my story is different than yours, and in having one daughter versus three, financially there's a big difference in raising three by yourself or raising one by yourself. And as I'm listening to you, I'm like, no wonder I was behind the eight ball financially and always feeling like there was either never enough or always catching up or trying to come up for air. And when you spend a big chunk of your life in that space, you too have to heal. It's literally just survival, and it's layers and layers of just survival. And you don't see this until you make it through, right? That's when the reality hits. So that was one of the things I was going to commend you on, was that I picked up on, was the transition, taking time to transition and getting your ducks in a row.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what I don't want my people that I work with to go through is that financial stress. I have been there. I lost everything. I know how difficult it is. And I also know that some of the decisions I made were not necessarily the wisest decisions. And I put myself in worse strife. Like when I was coming out of that whole situation, you end up taking any job, which can sometimes be a very toxic environment. And so, but you're earning money and you're paying your bills, and so you put up with it, but that wears your spirit down after a while. It erodes your confidence. By the time you're ready to make a leap, make a change, any of those things, sometimes you got to first work on building the confidence. That's often what I have to do with quite a few women, rebuild the confidence. Then we do the strategy on how we actually create the next career or the next business or the next thing that sparks the joy and then pursuing what they want to pursue. Because if you let your confidence erode over years of taking rubbish jobs or sometimes even high-paying jobs, but people are not kind in those work environments, oh, then you're dealing with a whole other beast at the end of it.
Well, you are, and then the higher the pay, the higher the stress.
Oh, yep, absolutely.
Unfortunately, that goes hand in hand. So you
Yep.
need the higher pay in order to pay for your life, or to pay for retirement, or to whatever it leads to. But that amount of stress sits on you, and it's amplified because of the financial stress that you're in, or the position that you're in. If you're in a bad marriage, if you're starting off by yourself. So I too have survived two divorces, both times with three kids, where I had to pick myself up from nothing. But not just me, but each time with all three kids.
Kids,
The first time they were 4, 2, and 6 months, and the second time it was like 14, 12, and 10, something like that. It
So the baby years and the teenage years. Oh my goodness.
Well, and
I
I
take my
mean,
hat off to you.
well, and then everything I had built a couple of years ago, I went to the hospital with a headache, a really bad headache. This was 3 years ago. I was working in corporate. I was not aligned with it. I thought I would love it because I was in this role in a different company before, doing 20 extra things. Then this role had me isolated to management and sales, and that's it. And my manager, who was my direct hire, told me to slow down, to stop booking appointments, take it easy. But then I was learning more and more about the culture and the drama that happened before I got there, and the things I was noticing that were being done because I was brand new. And I was feeling all funny on the insides, but the more I learned, the more I was not aligned with. And we're on the phone, we're having this conversation. I am not in agreement with him. I feel like I'm literally about to blow a gasket. Like, I tell him, my head hurts so much I cannot chew my salad. And I go to the hospital, and my blood pressure is 222.
Oh my God.
My
Whoa.
bottom number was 170. Like, that top number was like, it was bad, it was high, but nothing would bring down my blood pressure, and nothing would get rid of my headache. I was admitted for a week, diagnosed with inflamed nerves in my head. So 3 years later, so that job actually let me go while I was on sick leave. And I'm still bitter, I'll be honest. And I can't believe I'm saying that. It's because by doing that, they've hurt me. They've either hurt me or they've helped me. And I don't want to be a victim, but because I'm still in this trying to figure out which way's up, which way's down, because this is, I'm still in the middle of this journey, it's easy to feel like a victim. Now, I had made peace with the fact I was going to go back to work and find a different job. Because my business was just, it just hit a quiet slope and I needed to bring in that extra income.
Income, yep.
Like 3 years ago, I am living on hydromorphine to try to survive from the pain in my head, not knowing what's going on. I run a 5K in April. In May of that same year, I am walking out of the hospital with a cane because I could barely walk because of my head, because of the nerves and the pain. So fast forward a couple of months, the job lets me go. I tell my tenants, because I moved in with my boyfriend about 2 years, 3 years before that. I told my tenants I needed to sell my house. And they took me to court for over a year because they refused to leave my home. So everything I had worked for and kept my credit rating up for and built, I decided to move about 10 years ago. I decided to move back to my hometown where my parents still are. I had been away for 20 years just throughout Canada. And then I came back and wanted to move back home and built and had this beautiful home, nice property. I could do my personal training, plenty of room if I wanted a family. But instead, I moved in, Brooke and I moved into Tony's house and we built a home here. And so you're talking about how menopause, really, what was the word that you used? Can't read.
Unraveled.
Unraveled you. This head injury did that to me. On top of everything else I'd gone through, my sense of purpose was stripped. My only job was to heal. But how do you take everything away and suddenly show up? Now, when I look back, I am improving. I am healing. I am. Every day is different. Every day is better. And I'm learning to trust in the bigger picture. And I'm learning all of these other things. And do I still play the victim to this role? Well, now there's a 3-year gap I need to explain on my resume, or I need to lie to an employer. When do I lie? Do I lie on my resume saying I've got an invisible chronic illness and I don't know if I can show up for work any day this week, or when I might need time off? You can't count on me.
Well,
That's not dependable, right? So this still, and hearing those words kills me. Hearing the words like you're not dependable. Now, let's pair this with the fact that I was also going through perimenopause and even now I was sharing with you, I was having a good day until I knew it was time to rest my head, and then I struggled to get up. And in hindsight, I am doing and we are exactly where we're supposed to be. In hindsight, I do feel like, and I'm gonna use God. I do feel like God lifted me up, shipped me up, and dropped me back down. But I do feel that I'm back to a position of reinventing with my own panache and my own way, with my own thing. But we life hits us. I mean, I've had to go through whatever pension I had, it's done. Any finances I had from the house, it's done. So it's all on my business. I don't want to say, but we're in a society where people don't want to spend the money. That's not true. People are still spending the
No.
money. That's where our scarcity mindset wants to go to naturally, just like the victimhood when it came to talking about, the employer. It's unethical for them to do that in Canada. They're not
Yeah.
allowed to do that. However, they did the one thing they were allowed to do, and that was merge with, sorry, that was merged with a different location. So they made my role
Yeah.
redundant, right?
Yeah.
It's not their fault. They had to do what they needed to do from a business perspective. It wasn't the right fit for me. But when we're in this position of being so vulnerable, like you started to say with the financial stress, you'll take and do anything. I am still holding on to that job and playing victim. Why? There's so much better
Yeah.
for me at my fingertips. Why?
Yeah.
Last week, I delivered a workshop for free for a nonprofit, and I was beaming for days, right? Sure, I had to
Yeah.
rest and take care of myself, but that brought me more joy than working for any company would. And it was
Yeah.
my content that I delivered for free. And yes, I could have charged, but no, I wouldn't charge for a non-for-profit, right? So, we have to look at things completely differently. You could be stuck in your childhood story of
Yep.
segregation.
Yep.
You could be stuck in your first story of divorce. No, yeah, wait, your story of divorce, not your first, your story of divorce,
Yeah.
or maybe some of the things that happened between the two. So
Yeah.
resilience is certainly showing up over and over again in your life, is what I'm picking up on.
Yeah, I think, look, part of that was ingrained with those first words from my father. You know, saying, literally preparing us and saying, life is not going to be rainbows and unicorns for you guys. I'm telling you now, this is the country you live in. You want success, you want to end up in a high paying job or whatever it is you want for your future, you're going to have to work for it. You know, everybody has to work for it. But in a country like South Africa, certain populations have to work harder. That was just the reality. And my father didn't sugarcoat it, which I think was the best thing he did for us, for his kids,
I was going to
because
ask you.
all of us went through life going, okay, there might be hard times. We didn't know what the hard times were going to look like. Like, I didn't know I was going to be in a relationship for almost 10 years and then lose everything, be a single mom. That was not in my that was not in my, you know, vision board on the wall,
Right.
certainly. But when life hits you, and especially when it hits you hard. I mean, I think that there's importance in actually owning that space. And if you fall apart, you fall apart. If you're crying every day, you're crying every day. What you don't want to do is stay in that space. So
Well, and I
you
think,
figure out who helps, who can help you, who can uplift you, right? And
you know
sometimes it's a friend.
what? Most often it's a stranger that
Yeah.
you just haven't met yet, right? Like you just it, they become a new friend or somebody that you're working with. And oh, you had mentioned something about your dad. So let me ask you that first. Do you think your dad set you up for success by saying what he said?
I think so. I do believe that because I look at my father and his life. He was, you know, his mother died when he was 4 years old, and his father put them in an orphan home. His father didn't take care of them. So my father was an orphan from four. And I look at his life and how he grew up and abject poverty and all of that, but never letting. He said to us also, this is at this around the same time he educated us about apartheid. He said, you can either be a victim in life or you can be a victor of life. You get to choose. And so that those words, I think for all, you know, for all of us, the siblings, we have all gone through life. We've had difficult times, but we refuse to lay down and just give up.
And I think there's a sense of
And I think
knowing.
he set us up for that.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like he prepared you in so
Yeah.
many ways. Like
Yep.
my dad's words of wisdom were, if you don't care for yourself, nobody's going to care for you, or nobody's really going to care about you in the real world. And I'm trying to prove him wrong still, but
Yeah.
he's like, your teachers aren't really going to care, your job workers aren't going to care, like And I forget the context behind that, but pretty much take care of yourself in terms of
Yeah.
that world. But there was no conversation about life being hard. There
Right,
was a
okay.
conversation about there's always going to be people worse than you, and there's always going to be people better than you. So don't think you're better than or worse than anybody else. So that
Yep.
reality was there. But not once. Now, I came from two blue-collar working parents. Both of my parents worked in order to put food on the table. My dad watched us at night. My mom would, they would, I remember going in pajamas to my dad picking my mom up at a retail store. It was called Kmart at the time. And that was a highlight of my childhood, is going in the car in pajamas to pick up my mom at her 9:30, 10 o'clock close, or 10:30, whatever it was. But I think about some of the dreams and things I want to aspire to and to accomplish. And some of it is because of my childhood. Like, I would love to have a cottage one day that I could, well, I want to use it as a retreat for other people, but I also want to leave it as a legacy in the family. And the story behind that is, when we did vacations as a kid, we drove 14 hours to Quebec to watch TV in a different language. My brother and I, that was so much fun. Not so much, right? Like, not from a child's perspective, but that's where my mom's family was from. And so our away vacations were almost always that. And then our local vacations were camping, so my dad could still work at the local campground. So my dad could, right? Because he was working 7 days a week, and it was about the overtime. And now I'm grateful, because he's been my parents at this age have been my saving grace. Between them and Tony, and it makes me want to think twice about how things would be different, but there's no point because I have that support. And it just being grateful for what we have. So, different upbringings, different perspectives, but for those that are really leaning in here, what I want to share is there is no right wrong. In many
No.
ways, you were prepared so much differently, where I was educated more naively, right? I wasn't taught about worldly things because my parents weren't all that worldly. They weren't travelers, and there was no right wrong. It was just living and growing in our little space. And here we are, both of us from our little communities, to teaching, educating, leading others towards success. So the
But
next
also using our journeys to lead, because one of the things I see a lot of coaches out there, and many of them tell you what to do, but they very rarely share their own experience. And I've found that that doesn't necessarily land that well for people. People relate to vulnerability. They relate to war story. I call them war stories, right? We
Sure.
all have our war stories. Because you know what? Most of the world is going through a war story of their own.
They are. They
They're
are. And
battling something within themselves. They're trying to overcome something. They're trying to reach a goal. And I think, and that's where I see, some of the work that you're doing, the way you do it, the way you've just shared with me on the podcast, I'm like, keep doing that because that's relatable. The
yeah, it's
coaches that seem so polished, I just find I can't relate to them. I actually never buy their programs or anything like that because they, to me, it just seems so unattainable. They're not getting into my world. And so I think that authenticity and vulnerability and sharing the war stories, not just the good stories,
the
are
good, bad,
important.
and the ugly. So I want to share with you my post on social media this morning. We need to come back to this one part. So I don't know if you're making notes. I'm going to make notes, but about not staying in that spot. Can we circle back to that? Okay. So years ago, I started going live on social media. I started going live because of a weight loss challenge I was doing, and I was getting a recommendation to go, just go live every day. Show up and go live and do your ask every day. And I'm like, okay. And from there, now we're talking, it's been over 5 years now. From there, I was doing Motivational Monday, Transformation Tuesday, Wellness Wednesday, Thankful Thursday, and Check-In Friday. So that's evolved where over the last year, it was more impromptu. I would show up each day or as many days as possible. I think that the as many days as possible kicked in 3 years ago, right? Started. But then I wouldn't necessarily be the theme days, but it would always be a topic. So today I wrote on my generic Good Morning Post, Tuesday Truth Bomb. Authenticity isn't some destination you arrive at, ladies. It's the daily choice to drop the mask and to be real, especially when those hormones have your brain feeling like a broken pinball machine and you're already fighting the executive function boss battle. Today, choose to be seen, messy brain, hot flashes, and all. That's the real power move. And then the question is, what's one small authentic choice you'll make today? Now, people, for some reason, the algorithms, people didn't see it. But the part I wanted to share with you is this got me thinking. This is what I added to the comments. This got me thinking about all the real authentic posts I've shared, the ones where I'm in a two-piece bathing suit or without makeup, or perhaps at an angle that isn't flattering. At first, I wondered if I should be more polished, more professional, less real, less in the moment, and more structured. But looking back, I wouldn't change a thing. Being authentic and real gives others permission to do the same. Showing
Absolutely.
up messy is still showing up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that, you know, even writing the comment section, you know, doesn't matter to me that people haven't seen it yet. No, because it's a matter of yet, and the right people will see it at the right time. I know
Yeah.
life is noisy and people need to slow down. And I talked about this earlier today on a different show I was on, and it was surprising because we had intergenerational, a father, a son, and myself. And yet all three of us had different delivery methods when it came to taking care of ourselves. But I was the only female going through the hormonal changes that's been hustling all of these years in a different way, a lot like you. Slowing down is the only thing that we can do to help us heal and listen. Listen to what our
Yeah.
body says, listen to what God is saying, listen to where our intuition is coming from. Things change when we do that. So it is a gift. And I want to go
Yes,
back
it is.
to what you was at, about not staying in that spot. You know, when we talked about being the victim or the victor.
Yeah.
When you wake up every day feeling like hope that something's going to change today and today's the day, and you're this kind of excited when you get out of bed and you have your shower and you're like ready to go. Go what? Do what? Focus on what? You lose it very quickly. That hope washes away after 3 years and you just kind of, it changes. Not that you give up, but you want something different to change, right? You
Yeah.
don't want to be the victim, but you're not seeing anything different. So it is a matter of putting that faith first and that trust and belief and that knowing that the longer it takes, it's because something magical is waiting on the other side and you're just not ready yet.
Yeah, well, I think I totally believe in divine intervention. So I have a, I wouldn't call myself ultra religious, but I'm incredibly spiritual. I talk to God all the time. Sometimes I yell at God, right? When I'm really mad. But I do, I speak to the higher power. But I've also, one of the things that I did learn and it did shift a lot of things for me was when I stopped focusing on what wasn't happening, but looked at what I already had, the gratitude. You know, the
Gratitude's
minute
a
I
big shift. Yes.
switched the shift to gratitude. You know, you have a roof over your head. You have a beautiful daughter. I have a great partner now. Peter's my partner in business and in romance and life. And I have a wonderful family. My parents are still here. A lot of my girlfriends have lost their parents and they miss their parents. All of these things. I mean, I'm spending time with my parents later today. And so it's little things. It's stuff that maybe some people wouldn't even consider big things. But when I look at it, I'm like, hey, they matter to me. They matter to me, and I love that I have them.
And I think that's where the
And the
magic is.
more I stay focused there, the lighter I feel. Even if things haven't moved in the direction that I may want them to move,
Well, and that's it,
you
right?
know?
The gratitude piece is huge. And now my faith journey actually increased. I was very spiritual before this, but I started going to church throughout this. And now it's increased. So it's one of the things I do every day now is my Bible app, and I'm open to talk about it, and I'm comfortable because it's I feel like it's a part of me now, and it's a part of my story now. But yes, switching to gratitude for everything. And for instance, I speak to my parents every single day. It's annoying. They're 79 years old. It's annoying. They're calling me for entertainment and to be told what's different and what's new. And they've got an opinion, not they, my dad, if there is nothing new and different from yesterday. And they're not exactly uplifting phone calls. Sometimes they start off, hey, sticky. Well, that's enough to knock you down a peg if you're not in the best spot. But like you, my partner, Tony, and we've been together 8 years now. So yes, I feel very fortunate. He lost his mom when he was 17. She died of cancer. He never knew his dad. So he hasn't had a mom or dad or anybody guiding him for all of these years. And he's the same age as you. He turned 58 a month ago. And my best friend, she lost her dad when our babies were born. And he was significantly younger than my dad. So having my parents in my life every day, as annoying as it can be, is a blessing. Like it
Oh,
is
yeah.
truly a blessing. And I don't take it for granted. I just get frustrated because I'm human. And that's allowed, right? Or holding space for that is allowed. And
Absolutely.
flipping that script too, and honoring yourself. We talked about healing not being linear. You know, it's easy for anybody to be listening to this to think, oh, well, they have it easy. They're past this. They're not going through it. We went through it. And it was literally like an elastic band, or I don't know if I have one here. It'd be a great analogy if I had one here. Oh, I have one here. So it's like, you know, we're going through life like this, and then something happens and we get stretched, and then something happens and we get stretched. And I need two fingers for this. Something happens and we're like here, and it's gonna break, and we're gonna break. And we spent years in this spot where all it takes is a little bit more and we're falling apart. It's the difference between us right now and our listeners. We've walked the walk, and our goal is to link arms and to give you some strategies to get through it and to let you know that you will get through it. It might be a little blip, it might be a big blip, it might be a 5-year blip, but you will get through it. You've made it through every possible thing that you've gone through. You've made it through probably some of the hardest days that you didn't know how you were going to make it to tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what?
But I mean, some days it's simply about putting one foot in front of the other. It
And
comes
filling.
down to that. Sometimes it's as basic as that. One foot in front of the other. That's it.
And that
There's
counts.
no strategy, there's no grand plan. It is just getting up and going, okay. Let me walk through this day, however I walk through the day, you know, whether you're crying through part of it, whether you wishing that life wasn't the way it is through part of it. And maybe when you come to the end of the day, whether you just go, I'm exhausted, I'm going to bed. The fact is, you got through the day, you know, maybe
And
difficult, but you got through it and you See what tomorrow brings.
Yeah, and tomorrow's a new day, or this afternoon's a new day, or you
Yes.
might get your creative genius. The thing is, when we slow down, we hear things completely different, and we learn a lot more about our rhythms and what works and what doesn't work. But this magic doesn't happen all at once. It happens over time, and it happens through reflection. When we
Yeah.
look back and see how far we've come.
Yeah, I think stillness and reflection is very, very important. And I do that at the start of every day. I start my day with meditation and silence and prayer. And I end my day that way as well.
There was a.
It's been in me for more than 20 years.
So I
Don't go a
start my
day
day.
without it.
I start my day almost the exact same way: meditation, Bible app, journaling, which includes gratitudes in my journaling, although I have a separate gratitude book. And then I'm very creative in the mornings. So that's when I love to do my social media content. I don't like to batch create it. I love to sit there with a cup of coffee as part of my morning routine and do that. Twice a week, I do book club at 8 a.m. So this today, I took my dog for a walk during book club, which was perfect. I
Yeah.
listened, and it was just perfect. I wasn't one of the readers. Like, yeah, it was great. I might do that again. And so now I got my exercise and I got outdoors, right? And then I was really good for starting the day. So what other tidbits do you have for our listeners right now when it comes to putting everything together so that the when I say putting everything together, you need to be the four quadrants I like to look at are meals, movement, mindset, and your relationship with money, aka stress. So all four of those things have been impacted, and all four of those things somehow play a role in your life. Can you
Yeah.
share with us what those look like to you right now and how they've played a role previously up until now?
So for me, the number one thing has always been to take care of my well-being. So movement and food. Now, I haven't always been fabulous at that, right? There's been times when I've not eaten well. There's been times when I haven't, when I've, what I call couch surfed for way too long. But I always somehow find my way back to those basics. Even now, I'm putting myself through a low carb eating program with the help of my GP because there was a couple of health markers that weren't great. So I'm like, okay, got to go back to basics. So I move every day. I walk every day. I stretch. I go to the gym 3 times a week. This is all to keep the mental well-being there. I eat well. With regards to money, I went through very lean times, right? Very lean times, and I had to figure out a way. So for me, it was like, who do I talk to? I talk to the people that can give me a job that pays more money. And that's how I developed my strategy. What I work for now is to travel because that is my joy. Books, reading, and travel. Those are my joys and my passions. I'm at the stage in life where I've worked pretty hard, done really well with my money, have a great partner who's also making really good money. So I don't need to work as hard as I used to. So my work is all about the purpose and passion now. It's like I do this and then I reward myself with a trip overseas or locally in Australia or whatever, because I know I feel great when I do that. And mindset, well, that, as I said, was a certain mindset was instilled in me from young. I did lose my way a few times. Obviously, I wouldn't have ended up in a relationship that was disastrous for me if I had a healthy mindset. So I was working through my own self-esteem, my own trauma issues, attracted this relationship that now I look back and I can see, but I don't blame the guy. There was a time when I was very happy to just blame him, but no longer. I mean, I take ownership of what I attracted, why I attracted it. And so for me, it's about being accountable to myself as well, like owning some of the mistakes I made along the way, not beating myself up about them, but just owning them and saying, okay, that was not a great period in your life. You didn't make great choices. move on.
Was it a
I will
matter
analyze and then I'll move on.
of fact of just not knowing better at the time?
Well, probably, yeah. And also not knowing that there was a huge impact of trauma on me, because you can go through life and not know or understand your traumas, but yet you're making choices all the time. And then you go, and then one day maybe you meet someone. I happen to work with a psychologist who literally pointed me in the direction of my trauma. And when she started asking me certain questions, and I was like, oh my God, I never even thought about it like that. I was automatically moving through life, making certain choices, not realizing that they were largely driven by some of the trauma that I'd experienced.
So is it fair to
So
say that
now it's,
you
sorry?
go, well, is it fair to say that you've had third party people?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why, that's why, some of the work that we do is important too. People, when they come to me and they're wanting to move in a new direction in their career, they recognize, the ones who do come and who work with me recognize, that they are not seeing themselves the way an outsider would. And sometimes our vision of ourselves is not clear because we bogged down by all the stuff. It's the same for me when I was going through all of my traumas. I went to work with a psychologist and she could see clearly what had impacted me and helped me come to certain realizations. So I believe any third party help, whether it's a coach for your health and well-being, a career coach if you want to move powerfully forward in your career, a spiritual coach because you're feeling all over the place and you feel disconnected from the divine, I mean, whatever, right?
Wherever, yep.
Third party help is important. It actually, for me, it says to me that the person has a level of self-awareness that they can't do it alone. None of
Well, and
us can actually do it alone.
that's where I was going with it, is that we can't grow from the same place that got us to where we are. And
Correct.
where we're at right now is actually based on yesterday's decisions. So if you don't like where you're at right now, you need to make better decisions for moving forward. And you need to take accountability for that. So, there are some gray areas, I'll be honest. I've been trying to figure out how to dabble the inflame, how to fix the inflamed nerves in my head. And I've had everything in the book thrown at me from suggestions from other people. But at the end of the day, nothing's stuck enough. I even went on an anti-inflammatory diet and low carb at the very beginning, and I'm sure I lost weight, but I didn't notice a difference with my headache. But my naturopath had said to me, "But that's like one Tylenol in your whole body. You need probably more. I probably needed more. I probably needed more work and to go further on it. So now it's like getting myself back there again." But that comes with looking in the mirror, that comes with the reflection, that comes with the work, that comes with the reading and the expanding that we do naturally.
Absolutely.
We hit the mark on so many things today. Your mindset was really shared with your father on so many levels. The same thing with the financial piece. You were told to work hard so you could do well. Right. And that was instilled in you. And sure, there were lean times, but that's not where you're at today. So you're just kind of proving that we move through those valleys, those peaks and valleys. And the biggest takeaway I would love to summarize is when you don't know what to work on yourself. Go inwards. And it can start with journaling. It can start with playing a song and writing down how it makes you feel, or honoring the tears or the dancing that's happening. I don't know if he's telling me it's dinner or if it's time for a W, but yeah.
Yeah, they, oh yes, they're the boss of us, aren't they?
Aren't
My
they?
one's the total boss of me.
We lost throughout this period of the 3 years. Like I said, I got kicked while I was down over and over and over again. We even lost both of our dogs.
Oh.
It was incredible. And my pulling myself up every day to show up to get another kick was hard. Was hard. To see no traction in any area of my life was hard. I can do hard things, but it doesn't mean we should still have to do hard things after doing hard things for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Raising three kids isn't easy by yourself. Raising one
No.
kid isn't easy by yourself. Living in through segregation isn't easy. That's scarring for the rest of your life. And
Yeah.
that could go any which way, any which direction. I want to thank you, Wendy. Before we sign off, or as we sign off, what would you like to add to our listeners? What would you like to share?
One of the things I always like to end off on is telling people to just take one step at a time. A lot of people, when they want to make change, whether it's in the health or the finances or anything, they try to do everything all at once. And what I've seen happen is overwhelm, crazy overwhelm. And that literally stops people because the brain actually can't deal with that much overwhelm. So for me, all the journeys and all the changes I've been through, I always only did the next best step. And sometimes the next best step, like in the case of that career situation when I was left with no money, it was picking the phone up and calling the recruiter. Sometimes the next best step in your health is just walking around the block. You can worry about doing two blocks next week or doing 5Ks in 2 months' time, but take the next best step because that's all you can actually deal with and have effective success with. I've never seen it work any other way, and I've been coaching for a long time now.
And I completely agree with you. We jump in with both feet, and I wish I need to dig up the numbers. I didn't realize how much of a stats person I am, but I know anybody who's neurodivergent. So I realized that I'm late onset neurodivergent, and well, I've had it late diagnosed. And for anybody else that falls within that category where you're just not neurotypical and things are a little bit, for my case, it's a high level of anxiety and depression, and not depression, depression now because of everything, right? But ADHD. So that means you want to jump in with both feet more often than not. You just kind of want to, you lack a dopamine, so you're always searching for that high. So yes, I want to go, and this is the same thing with menopause and perimenopause with our, when our estrogen drops, so does our dopamine. So if you're
Yeah.
both neurodivergent and going through menopause, you're getting a double lower dip of dopamine, which increases your need for that feel good, whether it's sugar, whether it's cravings, whether it's that next high in life. So normally, you jump in with both feet, and you don't want to be jumping in with both feet in a case like this. It is literally one step at a time, and see what you are working on and how it makes you feel and what needs to be tweaked, and get that practice good before you add more.
Correct. Yeah.
And it can
Because
be
the
a
moment you have the success with the one area, say if you've chosen your health, the moment you tick that and you now have got a routine around that, there's a success. The brain loves it and it's ready to move on to the next one.
Well, and it's that
And
dopamine
I've
hit.
seen, yeah, I've seen people succeed by, it's the tortoise and the hare, isn't it? At the end
It
of the
is
day,
at the end of
be
the
the
day. And
tortoise.
well, and that's kind of the
Don't rush
slowing
through it.
down. We can't rush through it. We've been conditioned to do what needs to be done, whether it's an alignment for our physical bodies or not. So one of my passion hobbies that I've leaned into this year is human design. And I've learned as a emotional generator that I need to wait 24 hours to make major decisions. I've
Yes.
learned that I'm supposed to respond and not initiate. Well, I've been in sales my whole life initiating, going against the grain. No wonder I'm exhausted without knowing. And now I'm
Yeah.
teaching you stuff and helping people thrive. So listen, I could talk to you
Wonderful.
forever. I have a feeling Tony's sitting at the table eating dinner by himself.
Yeah, it's breakfast time here too. And
Okay.
our dog is the dog needs a walk, so
Listen, Wendy, thank you so much for being a part
pleasure.
of this journey. I hope this message reaches the right people that need to be uplifted today with our stories. Please feel free to share this with whoever
Absolutely.
is nest like whoever you can think of, and it'll be on all of our social networks and it'll be uploaded to my YouTube. You'll get a copy of everything that you can use. I'm thinking 2 weeks, and I know I'm talking about this on the show, but those that are listening to this are gonna be like, what? You recorded this? You know, this one's actually being recorded mid-October 2025. And I like to timestamp the odd one, not everyone, just so you can have a feel as to where things land. Because it is really cool going back and hearing old shows. So, Wendy, let me
Yes,
ask
it
you before
is.
we sign off, have you ever heard yourself in an old show?
Yes, because sometimes people send it to me. You know, like I've done podcasts. I started doing it for, I don't have my own podcast, but I've been a guest on podcasts for almost for 18 months now. And so lots of shows. But sometimes people find it and they go, I didn't know you did that. And then they send it to me and I listen to it. I'm like, oh, wow, okay.
Okay. So have you ever? So I've tripped upon my own show. So I was listening to somebody else's shows on a walk, and I just, whatever show came on next, I would listen to, and it was mine. And I was like inspired and in awe the whole time I'm listening to it. And that's what I want people to get from this one as well, is that feeling of love. I guess that's all that's coming to me. You know, I've got my hands on my chest, and that's the first thing that came to mind is that feeling of love, because that's what I believe has come full circle in today's episode. Not just, I think, love and acceptance for where we've landed.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
me, and gratitude always kind of works its way, threads its way through things as well. Because there's a lot to be grateful for, regardless of how difficult things have been, probably for both of us. Look at us, we're here talking using technology, even if we're just grateful for the technology. I mean, you on the other side of the world, I'm down under.
That, you know, that warms my heart every time. I believe technology has showed up in the right time in history, and it's exactly what we needed when we needed it. And I know there's more to come, but I can geek out and talk, so because I was about to reference a book and do this and do that. Let's not, because
Let's not. No, I need to be on the move now and
okay, my
get the day
dear,
started. All
I am
right. Been
sending you a
wonderful
big
chatting.
hug. It was a great chat. Thank you
You
for
too.
being on the show. Bye, everybody. We'll catch you on the next episode.